Come in. Well, look who's here. Come on in, Fred.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm certainly surprised to see so many of you in here. It's not raining outside, is it?
No, it's not raining, Fred. These people are all here to see me.
And you're not giving away dishes or anything?
No, sir, it's just me.
Now, look, Jack, you couldn't draw a crowd as big as this if you were a gutter on New Year's Eve.
Oh, I couldn't, eh? Now, listen, Fred, you're here to work, so take off your coat and let's go.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Before we start this Punch and Benny show, there's something we've got to straighten out right now.
What's that, Fred?
I'm not going to open my mouth on this program, except to yawn, until you give me what you promised me.
What I promised you?
You know, don't play possum, Benny. Now, hand over that Boy Scout knife.
Oh, yeah, I knew you'd remember that. All right, here it is. Wait till I take the chain off.
I want the knife, chain, and everything that goes with it.
Oh, I suppose you even want this elk's tooth.
No, you can put that back in your mouth.
Well, here's the knife, Fred. Take it and consider our deal closed.
Now, wait a minute. You're not rushing me into this. I want to see if it's in good condition first. Here's the big blade. Here's the corkscrew.
Yeah.
There's a fingernail file. There's the ping pong paddle. There's the bottle opener. Hey, what's this thing here?
That's a folding bed. Are you satisfied?
Well, I guess it's all right. Say, Jack, have you, my mood changes here.
I see.
Jack, have you, I'm on the
scripts the can go from now on. I see.
It's too late. It should have gone before.
That's right. That's right. Jack. Now, listen, Fred, listen.
Shall I slice him down, Mr. Benny?
Never mind, Rochester.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Who is this Swami here?
Swami?
I'm Mr. Benny's butler.
Butler, hey? Well, listen to me, you Ethiopian Jeeves. One more word out of you and you'll be butling in a shroud.
Don't let him scare you, Rochester.
I ain't scared.
That's the stuff.
Wait a minute. What is a shroud?
A shroud, my untutored friend, is a windbreaker for a goat.
Uh-oh, make way for a coward.
Rochester, you see, Fred, now I'll probably have to get a new butler.
Well, hello there, Fred.
Well, Harry Von Zell, what are you doing over here in the enemy's camp?
Well, I came here to help Jack out tonight. He needed an announcer.
Oh, is he going to pay you?
Certainly not. He's doing it as a favor. Of course, I will buy him a necktie or something.
What do you mean, something?
Something cheaper and shut up.
Well, I thought so. Benny, you're so tight, you've not only got the first dollar you ever earned, you've got the guy's right arm that handed it to you.
Well, it was loose. Now, let me tell you something, Alan. Let me tell...
Hey, pipe down, fellas. You're upsetting me.
Are we bothering you, Abe?
Yes, we
were. Yeah, why don't you two guys be debonair?
Debonair. He's
if
not
you
saying
say debonair
that
once more, I'm going to ask you what it means.
Now, wait a minute. He's not saying debonair. He's got a ventriloquist with him. You know, he's not... But what you're going to ask him what it means, will you know if his answer is correct?
Don't worry about me, Brent. I know plenty of big words.
Now, listen, you itinerant buffoon. The only big word you know is your right name.
Well, what if I did reduce it a little? My right name wasn't so long.
It wasn't, eh? Why, your name was so long, it took 15 minutes to write it in shorthand. And then they had to send the pencil to the Mayo brothers to recuperate.
You should talk. When you were in vaudeville, they had to put your right name on a rubber marquee.
That's vulcanized slander, Benny.
Why, you weather-beaten gargoyle.
Hold on there, Mr. B.
I'll throw you out of here so fast you look like a jockey on a skyrocket.
Now, you've gone too far, Benny. One more crack and I'll hit you on top of the head so hard you can tie your shoes with your teeth.
Oh, you will, eh?
Yes, I will. I'm taking my Boy Scout knife and getting out of here.
That's fine. Thanks for coming over, you town hall Buddha.
You're welcome, you Waukegan whippersnapper. Goodbye.
That was just a short order of Who Do You Love, I Hope, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his 40 men who...
This is Studio 68.
Wait a minute.
This glass booth is the control... control room.
Say, just a minute.
That little man with the mildew on him is a vice president.
Say, wait a minute. What is this?
This is a Radio City 60 cent tour. Okay, folks, let's get going. Hey, wait a minute. I got a stowaway here.
A stowaway in a tour?
Only 15 people paid. Now I got 16.
Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack Benny. Jack,
Jack. Come on, Jack. I'm going to get 60 cents out of you.
Take your hand off my spine. Put me down. Yes, guy. Put Mr. Benny down. I'll give you the 60 cents.
Wait a minute, Fred. Wait a minute. Put that money away.
But, Jack.
I've only seen half the tour.
Well, Jack.
Give him 30 cents.
Here you are, guy.
Thanks. Follow me, folks. Now, on your right is a water cooler.
Well, Fred, it was nice of you to pay that 30 cents.
Oh, it was nothing?
Nothing, he says. 30 cents.
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedians. Tell some cheap jokes. Say I'm tighter than the skin on Sidney Greenstreet's hip. I squeeze a nickel so hard, the E pluribus laps over the unum. Tell him.
Well, Jack, I didn't...
Oh, start insulting me after I made a special trip up here just to say goodbye before I leave for Hollywood.
Well, Jack, I...
All of a sudden, I'm cheap. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Your shadow has teeth? Jack, now look. Jack, don't get excited. Look, if you're cheap, you're cheap.
That's the way I look at it. Some people save asparagus ends. It's a hobby. My hobby is not spending.
Well, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. They'll not be back on the air next fall.
Well, that's radio, Fred. It's dog eat dog. I always say, only the fit survive.
Oh, how true. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sirree. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yipe!
Jack. Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
Well, that's what happened to the street singer. At the end of the year, his sponsor used to wink. One year, he didn't wink. The street singer was back in the street.
But, Fred, why should my sponsor want to get rid of me? Well, I'm funnier than I was when I started, and I'm getting less money.
Really?
Some weeks, when he's short, I take tobacco. I hate to get these big laughs on your program. I know.
Let's face it, Jack. Radio needs new blood. Who knows? We may be through.
I've been on radio 14 years. They can't throw me aside like an old shoe.
But, Jack...
14 years. And now, like an old shoe.
But, Jack, you with that and yipe. 14 years is a long time.
Fred, what has Mark Perkins got that I haven't got? Only longer commercials.
Well, Jack, you know how it is in radio. Today you're a star. Tomorrow Ralph Edwards is hitting you in the face with a pie.
Like an old shoe.
Well, cheer up, Jack. At least we have our memories. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yep. The first time I met you, Fred, I was just a kid in school. A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar.
You were the only 10 o'clock scholar I ever saw with 5 o'clock shadow.
How I could use some of that fuzz today. I could use a good joke today, too.
The next time we met, we were in Fordville, remember? You were doing a musical act.
Playing the violin. What a finish I had. When I played Glowworm, my violin lit up.
With those neon strings, it was beautiful.
Fred, remember my encore?
Encore?
Remember I'd put the violin bow in my teeth, bend the crab, and play Listen to the Mockingbird?
And as you bent the crab, two mockingbirds flew out of the back of your pants?
I stopped every show.
Except this one. Remember the closing... Remember the closing...
This one stopped 5 minutes before I got on it.
Stopped Remember that week in Needles, Arizona, the closing act, Cohen's Camels?
Cohen's? No,
the closing act. Jack, how could you forget Cohen's Camels?
Cohen, I remember. My sponsor told me to forget that other word.
Those were the happy days. The next time I saw you, you were just going into radio.
Radio. I remember the morning Marconi called me up.
Marconi?
Marconi and Singing Sam had a little radio station in a doorway down on the east side. The antenna was a Western Union boy holding a wire.
Well, I guess
it's... Kind of jokes don't fit.
No, they don't.
The antenna. When did I ever say antenna on my own phone? Go ahead, Fred.
Well, it's all over, Jack. We've come to the end of the rainbow.
Like an old shoe.
Like, there it is again.
And I'm 10 minutes already. I've only had it's an old shoe. Oh, I forgot antenna. Excuse me.
You ought to get a boot out of that old shoe by now.
No, I'm sorry. I brought it back in again. Seems like only yesterday I ran into the May Company and said, Mary, stop demonstrating that Brillo. That's another word I don't know.
It goes We're on top to of work. An antenna. A Brillo fits on an antenna. Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my program.
Your program? You mean you're not getting thrown out of radio, too?
Well, why should I?
Listen, if my program is old stuff, you with that broken-down Allen's Alley.
Now, well, wait, I mean my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean to stay on the air, you have to give things away? Free?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And Fred, you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
To strangers?
What's the difference who gets it?
Well, Fred, as long as I'm here in the studio...
Well, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional... Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Nothing. You have to give them the merchandise?
That's right.
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, Mr. Goodman. Let's try out my new show.
How would you like to be king for a day? And here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. And good evening. Did all you folks in the audience like those $1,000 bills you found on your seats when you came in? Good. And if you want more, there'll be a big bag of money at the door. On your way out, help yourselves. But the stage is loaded with hundreds of presents for the first man to answer our jumbo jackpot question. He will be king for a day. And here is our first eager contestant. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
What is your occupation, Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm a chaplain in a bakery.
What does a chaplain do in a bakery?
I put wings on angel cakes.
How long have you been in the cake business, Mr. Proudfoot?
Long enough to know a crumb when I see one. And I see one.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who was the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct, and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Folks, here he is, King Proudfoot. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Well, first for His Majesty from Snook's Sport Nook, a genuine no-splash beaverboard canoe paddle.
Here a canoe is. Paddle? Oh, boy!
And with the compliments of Tiffany's, this chromium pitchfork.
King! A four-pronger, and it's all mine.
And from Hemingway's hardware store, 200 pounds of self-hardening putty for King for a day.
Just what I needed. Just what I needed.
This is just the beginning, King. King, you are over 35.
By 2 years.
Fine. That jumbo carton, Uncle Jim, for His Majesty. He is over.
yipe, backwards. And here, the piston rod from a genuine Baldwin locomotive, or His Majesty the King. A tall locomotive. And here, from Melody Lane Music Shop, this case of 2,000 soybean mandolin picks. These are the mandolin picks.
I just keep pinching myself to believe it.
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Tomorrow morning, through the courtesy of the sanitation department, you will be guest conductor on the 11-5 garbage run through the Bronx. At night, in your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest.
I'm king for a day!
Not all.
There's more?
Yes, we're going to start right now to make you look like a king. Sam of Sam's Super Shoe Shine Stand is here to brush your shoes. All right, Sam.
Sam, watch out for the button.
Next, the president of the Busy Bee Hat Cleaners is here to block your hat. Take the king's hat, Mr. Bumble.
And change the newspaper in the hat band.
Your suit is a little baggy, King. Boys, take His Majesty's coat off.
Wait.
On our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute.
King.
Alan, this is a break. Where are my pants?
Benny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pants.
Gosh, it sure is hot out tonight, Portland.
I think I'll stop in the drugstore and get a frozen frosted.
A frozen frosted ought to go good now. Well, I'll see you later then.
Good night.
Good night, Portland. Good night. I'm sure going to miss Main Street, the jewelry store, the grocery, the pawn shop. Say, who is this man in front of the pawn shop with a moose head under his arm?
Hello, Fred.
Henry Morgan. Henry, you in front of a pawn shop?
Fred, when I'm working, I'm in front of the cigar store.
Well, I know.
When I'm not working, I'm in front of the pawn shop. I gotta hock this moose head.
Hock? But, Henry, you've been working all winter.
I know I have, Fred, and I appreciate it.
And, Henry, I just read that you're going back on the air replacing Duffy's Tavern.
Yeah, but that doesn't start until July 6th.
But, Henry, what did you do with all... You worked all winter. What did you do with all your money?
Well, I got tired sitting around on the bare floor of the apartment, so I bought a rug and some furniture on the installment plan.
I see.
First week I was out of work. To make the payments on the furniture, I had to borrow $300 from a loan company.
Uh-huh.
Now I owe the loan company, so I have to pawn my moose head.
Well, Henry, confidentially, that is a pretty mangy-looking moose head you have there.
Fred, this moose head is my dearest friend. In fact, it's my only friend.
Well, Henry, if this moose head means so much to you, why pawn it?
Well, Fred, I gotta raise
$300. $300.
If I don't pay the Mohawk Loan Company by 4 o'clock, I'll lose my furniture.
Henry, you have got to get $300.
But where?
I think I know where, Henry. Follow me. Well, Henry, here we are.
This is the Chase National Bank.
I'll see if this party is in. Say, guard.
Yes, sir.
We're looking for Mr. X.
Is Mr. X expecting you?
Yes, I'm a friend of Mr. X's.
Go through that iron door and down the circular staircase.
Thank you very much. Come on, Henry.
Fred, who is Mr. X?
Shh, Henry, his name is never mentioned.
Yeah, but do you think he'll lend me the $300?
Shh, quiet. Here's another guard.
You're looking for someone, gentlemen?
Mr. X.
Is Mr. X expecting you?
Yes, I'm a friend of Mr. X's.
Go down through this trap door and crawl through the tunnel.
Thank you. Come on, Henry.
Gee whiz, Fred. It's dark. Say, how much farther do we have to crawl?
Shh, Henry. There's a flashlight.
Who goes there?
It's all right, guard. We have some business with Mr. X.
Mr. X is in his personal vault straight ahead.
Thank you. Come on, Henry. Help me open this door.
Gee whiz. Fred.
money in this vault. It's stacked up to the ceiling.
Shh. I think Mr. X is coming.
Hello, Fred.
Mr. X, Fred, this is Jack Benny.
Well, Mr. X?
You can call me Jack, Fred. I like to keep everything informal around the vault.
Oh, well, thank you, Jack. I hope we're not interrupting.
No, it's all right, Fred. A little rest will do me good. I've been counting steadily since 5 o'clock this morning. I've got a cramp in my tongue from wetting my finger.
Jack, meet a friend of mine.
I'm Henry Morgan.
Morgan? Are you one of J.P.'s nephews?
No, I'm not related to J.P. Morgan.
You're not?
No.
Oh. Well, Fred, what's new?
Nothing much, Jack. How long are you going to be in town?
Oh, I'll be here counting all summer.
This is Mr. Benny's vacation, Henry. He always spends the summer in his vault here.
Gee, don't you miss the outdoors, Mr. Benny?
No, no. It's cool down here, and it's so nice and green.
Hey, you know something? I wouldn't mind spending a summer down here myself.
Now, before we start, Mr. Morgan, are you a student of money?
Well, Henry knows what money is.
But I haven't been exposed to it lately.
Well, I generally give this talk with a pointer.
Well, do the best you can.
All right, I'll use one of my fingers. A long finger
would be helpful.
Now, Mr. Morgan, over here are my fives, here are my tens, here are my twenties, and this stack here is Confederate money.
Jack, what are you doing saving Confederate money?
Well, if the South ever comes back, brother, I'll be the John D. Rockefeller of Atlanta.
Tell me, Mr. Benny, what is this in the glass case?
Oh, that is the first dollar I ever made.
Well, it looks like a string of beads.
It's wampum.
The first dollar you ever made was wampum?
Yes. A nearsighted Indian passed through Waukegan when I was a boy. I sold him my mother's shawl for a blanket.
Oh, I see. Jack, don't you ever think of anything else but money?
If I ever do, I'll go right to a psychiatrist.
Tell me, when did you first think of money, Mr. Benny?
The day I was born, I was a bottle baby.
I know, but a lot of babies were bottle babies.
Well, I was the first baby that ever got a nickel back on the bottle.
And you've dedicated your entire life to the accumulation of money?
Yes, yes, my boy, I have it. It's my fond hope that when I die, I'll go to Fort Knox.
Jack, the reason I brought Henry over...
Yeah, Mr. Benny, you see, by 4 o'clock...
4 o'clock. What time is it now?
It's 4:15.
The boy should be checking in. I wonder... Oh, that must be one of the boys now. Come in.
Number one reporting, Mr. Benny.
Okay, number one.
Got a big day, 4,682 nickels.
Good, good.
So long, Mr. Benny.
So long, number one.
Say, Jack, what are all those nickels?
I run my own turnstile in the subway.
But nickels...
Since the city went to a dime, I'm cleaning up.
Mr. Benny.
Excuse me, not my Morgan. That's probably one of the other boys. Come in.
Here you are, Mr. Benny.
Oh, thanks, Murr.
We had a big day today. 7,600 nickels.
Good.
So long, Mr. Benny.
So long, Murr.
Jack, another turnstile?
No, I also run my own slot at the automat.
But how do you...
I have a compartment with a live herring in it.
A live herring?
When someone puts a nickel in the slot and the little window opens...
Yes.
The herring feels the draft and slaps the window closed with his tail.
Jack, you mean?
I trained this herring and it was time well spent.
Well, how long have you had the herring working for you in the automat?
Only 6 months. He's already brought me in over $800.
Say,
Mr. Benny, by 4 o'clock, if I don't have $300...
Excuse me, Mr. Morgan. Come in.
Here it is, Mr. Benny.
Thanks, Bob.
I got a whole chimney full today.
Good, good.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Benny.
Hey, Jack, what is that Santa Claus doing in here?
Why, he works for me, Fred.
A Santa Claus working in June?
Yes, for people who do their Christmas shopping very early.
Mr. Benny, the reason that I'm here...
Yes, Jack, look, Henry has to borrow $300 by 4 o'clock, or some shyster with a loan company will take his furniture and his moose head.
Yes, Mr. Benny, see, we thought that maybe you
$300.
Would...
$300.
I'm a good risk, Mr. Benny. I've been working all winter.
Yes. You worked all winter and you're broke?
I'm flatter than something that's been stepped on.
Mr. Morgan, this is rather a personal question, but what do you do with your money?
I spend it.
I see your problem already. How do you spend your money?
Well, after a hard day's work, I generally go into a bar for a cocktail.
Yes.
I buy drinks for everybody, and then we go to dinner.
We?
After buying a few drinks, I suddenly acquire a crowd of friends.
And you buy everybody dinner?
Well, if I bring guests in to eat, I have to pick up the check, don't I?
I've heard of it.
Well, after dinner, the whole gang follows me to a nightclub. I pay the check and tip everybody wearing a mess jacket. Always end up broke. That's why I need $300.
Mr. Morgan, if you would do as I do, you would need $300.
Well, what do you do?
Well, after a hard day's work like you, I go into a bar.
And you buy a drink?
First, I let out a shriek so everybody sees me, and then I faint.
You faint?
A crowd gathers. Somebody gives me three or four brandies to bring me two. I get up off the floor, shake hands all around, and leave for dinner.
Do you eat alone, Mr. Benny?
No, I usually find a group of friends at a table, and I sit with them.
Who pays for the dinner?
Well, all during the meal, I keep feeling my pad of butter.
You keep feeling your butter?
Yes. When it comes time to pay, I reach for the check. While my hand is slipping around, somebody else picks it up.
Well, I'd like to know something. After dinner, do you go out to a nightclub?
Always. I order champagne for everybody. Then just before the floor show finishes, I swallow four sleeping pills fast.
Four sleeping pills?
Yes. I don't know how the party ends up or who pays the check. I just wake up in bed the next day well rested. You see, Henry, Mr. Benny really knows how to live.
Well,
and nobody ever made me this cheap on my own program.
Well, Mr. Chief, Mr. Benny, I'll certainly follow your advice. There's just one more thing.
Yes, Mr. Morgan.
Can you let me have $300?
Yes, Jack. Henry has to have $300 by 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock? Why, it's 5 after 4 now. Excuse me, that's the phone. I'll answer it in the booth.
Fred, it's 5 after 4. I'm ruined.
Now, Henry, don't go to pieces.
Why, Fred, my furniture, my moose head, the Mohawk Loan Company, will take everything.
Henry, I'll go home with you. Maybe I can talk to the shyster who's president of that Mohawk Loan Company.
Oh, I'm sorry, fellas. I have to leave. That phone call was urgent. Some business just came up.
Well, let's go, Henry.
Maybe I can give you fellas a lift. Which way are you going?
Well, I'm going home. I live on East 61st Street.
Really? I'm going to East 61st Street.
I live at 331.
Now, that's a coincidence. I'm going to 331.
Then you must be coming to my house.
I don't know. I have to pick up some furniture and a moose head.
Jack, Benny, besides running a turnstile in the subway, a slot in the
I also happen to be the shyster who's president of the Mohawk Loan Company.